Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Hello and welcome to Talkin' Baseball, the midweek episode. Rendon suspended. Manfred says analytics are a moon race and other things. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. Thank you very much for joining us today. My name is Jimmy. Jake is here. Trev is here. And BBD is behind the dish. It's brought to you by SeatGeek. Code Talking. I just used SeatGeek to buy tickets for myself and Katie to go to a game on Friday. And she said, I want to sit in this section. And there were some red bubbles and some green bubbles. And I knew, well, red bubble, even though it's your favorite color, those are terrible value and bad. Green is Jake's favorite color, and it means go. So I purchased those, and you can do the same thing. Get $20 off with code TALKING. Go to a game or a concert or a ballet, whatever you want to do. Jake, how you doing?
James, Trev, Davis, back at it, full house, baby. I'm doing well. Congrats to me, George Springer, Nick Ahmed, Scott Oberg, Anthony Kay. I mean, there's a UConn baseball lineage that's now dripping onto the basketball court. UConn won last night. And, yeah, man, back in it. Excited. The first midweeker of the regular season. And we got some good ones. I mean, Tony Rendon, my goodness. So I'm doing well. Trev, what's going out on the main island, my man?
I'm not on the Big Island. I'm actually on Maui. Okay. No big deal. I thought you went to Vandy.
I married into Vandy.
Married into it. Okay. I actually told somebody yesterday who was a Vanderbilt guy. I said, yeah, my friend went to Vandy.
Yeah.
Knowing full well you didn't go there, but I just said it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Look at you're that. Welcome.
Your friend.
Thank you.
Your friend Dansby.
My friend Jess.
I'm excited to talk about this stuff too, man. Like, we have some good topics here. The Rendon stuff is interesting. And then Manfred has just been on my tongue, huh? Yesterday, I gave him the clock ring award. And now we're going to be talking about some other stuff he said. Like, Whoa. Am I like full on Manfred now? Like, are me and him buddies?
Yeah, he's the best commissioner in baseball. He has flipped his legacy.
Easily.
Hall of Famer.
Well, obviously, you know. As soon as you retire, you're a Hall of Fame commissioner. Not a single one isn't. But Rendon's where we're going to start, I guess. I could have pivoted. But Rendon's on the list first. He got suspended for 5 games. He appealed it. They said, fine, 4 games. Because a fan called him, and earmuffs, if you got a little kid in the car, a bitch.
Oh.
And he didn't like it. And then he grabbed the guy by the shirt, and then he took a swing at his hat. And then that's kind of it, which I don't even downplay it. But I wish he didn't grab him.
Yeah. We talked about this on Baseball Today a little bit. He let the guy win, dude. It doesn't matter like how macho you are and how hard you grab a guy and you bring him into your face and you intimidate him. That guy wins, dude. Like, you never win if you go and give the attention that some of these fans want. I mean, that's essentially when you're heckling someone. If you're a heckler in the stands, what you want to happen is for the guy that you're heckling to look back at you and like flip you off or like say something back to you. That's what you want. So I've always tried to make it a point. You know, I got heckled quite a bit. You know, when you have poor games or poor stretches, people get on you. I just tried never to look at them. Like,
yeah.
Ever. Because I felt like if I did, they won, dude. And I didn't want it. So it does get under your skin. Like, it pisses you off sometimes because you're trying to be good at your job and you're working hard and you're just not good at your job. So you're already mad. And then you understand, like, hey, if I don't get better at my job, I'm going to lose my job. So like, there's a lot of pressure there. And then some dude in the stands is all over you. It frustrates you. But, you know, Rendon obviously just took it a level too far.
I wish he got called something worse. That's like when I watched the video and he had him by the shirt. And he's like, "What you call me?" And then I'm like, "Oh shit, this must have been bad." And then he's like, "You called me a bitch." I'm like, "What, Rendon? That's not
you can bad. Almost say that word like in endearing terms."
And like on the flip side, that fan, the full video, like, what are you doing? You're a grown man and you're like getting over the railing to get close to a player to call, like, to sincerely call him a bitch. Like, how pathetic are you?
Yes.
To just yell it from the seventh row, like, "All right, Rendon, you're a bitch." I still am not a fan of you and like you're annoying, but to walk down to the front row and lean over, like, what, dude? You suck.
Yeah, it's all the ingredients in the pot. It sucks that Rendon grabbed him. You can't do that. That is a line that cannot be crossed. And Jim, you said you wish Rendon didn't grab him. Yeah, absolutely. I'm thankful Rendon didn't catch him with that swipe, because then we'd be talking about a 45-game suspension. Then it's Anthony Rendon punches fan in the stands.
No, he was just trying to knock his hat off. He wasn't punching him.
Yeah. If he touched him at all, I agree with you.
Yeah, if he clips his nose, Jim, that's game over. I think Rendon's lucky he didn't catch him. Now the fan's a total loser. We covered that. I mentioned this going away in the recap episode, and I think you don't want to make too much lightheartedness. You can't do that, Tony. But Anthony Rendon, a guy that we've made a joke about, you know, he's a monk on the field and he doesn't like baseball, he doesn't care. Well, I'll tell you what, he cares about something. Because, you know, game one in Oakland and a loss, for him to be grabbing someone in the stands, like you said, Jim, I mean, that felt more fueled than a guy just calling him a bitch once. Like, hey, maybe the guy was laying it on him all day. Maybe Anthony Rendon's heard stuff about himself this offseason because his contract in L.A. hadn't gone to where it thought that. I don't know. It boiled over. It got to a bad place. You have to suspend him. You have to. Can't grab someone in the crowd and not get suspended. Just glad there was no other contact, because I think luckily we'll be able to wash the hands, except the next Angels series in Oakland. I bet Anthony's going to have a lot of people open to discussion, which that's a fun fan base for that. But yeah, I think everything landed in an okay place.
I think he didn't think the guy was going to come over. And why would the guy go over? Like, he did it over there, and Rendon comes to the shorter part of the fence. He's like, "Why don't you come over here and come over here?" And the buddy's friend pushed him, like, "Yeah, go talk to him, go talk to him." Yeah, I think he was just trying to slap his hat like that, and I don't think, like, he was really trying to hurt him. I didn't see it, and I wasn't, like, scared for anyone.
Yeah.
I thought he was smiling the whole time. I think it was, like, a reminder that, like, I'm still a guy that could beat you up, but he wasn't ever going to. I don't know. I think it wasn't a punch. He just went like up with his hand.
It's a slap.
A little slappy.
It's a slap.
Two guys need to put their wiener away.
They called each other.
Right? Yeah, they did.
Which is so stupid.
Oh, what an awful phone call.
Yeah. I mean, I almost don't even believe
it. Why was Rendon on that phone call?
The league probably made him to save face and with the fans, and they like blew it out. Like, I don't know. But he said, We both apologize, and we're both ready to move forward.
If they take
Rendon,
a picture,
you fucking hate that, dude.
If they take a picture next series, count me out. No way.
I'm out once I read they talked on the phone. I don't give a fuck.
It wasn't Rendon. They had one of
it was Rendon.
They had one of the clubbies. They had one of the clubbies.
No, it was like principal move, like talk to each other and say sorry. Like, no, none of them fucking cared anymore.
Yeah, this is Anthony Rendon. Yeah. Let's not do that again.
Right. Hi, and this is the fan. I called you a bitch, and I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry.
It's embarrassing for both of them, I think, is the
100%
end thing here. But we are in a simulation. Maybe this is the beginning of a budding friendship. Like, hey, we talked on the phone once. You got my number now.
Yeah. I'm out.
You're out?
Rendon, I want this Rendon to beat this guy up later in life, 20 years down the road.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
No, in my...
20 years down... the road, he slaps his hat off. That's what 20 years from now,
he gets the swipe.
Rendon gets to swipe his hat off unsuspectingly. I'll put it on. Both reach out.
Okay.
It'll be like, you know, the human hunting.
I'll put it on.
Yeah.
What if we
drop them both in a
what
city?
If we got these guys together and we said, all right, buddy,
talking
go for it. And he got to just use the B word on Rendon just right to his face. Boom. That's what he gets. And then Rendon gets a step up, knock his hat off.
Yeah.
He gets what he wants and it's over. That's what we should have done.
Yeah.
We can set that
it's better
up
than a phone call.
We got a warehouse.
Phone call's bullshit.
I think bigger than anything, like people don't talk about this. The Coliseum, well, they do talk about how much of a dump the Coliseum is. They do talk about that. But the fact that you have to walk through the stands, people getting popcorn like it's fucking Little League to go to your clubhouse is a joke. And this, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I mean, you leave the game there and, or even during the game, if you want to go to the clubhouse, you are going to rub shoulders with fans. As you walk up a staircase, they're going to be walking down the other side. It is something that never happens in any other Major League Baseball facility, just in Oakland. And I asked my friend Matthew, who plays in the NFL. He said it's the same thing for them. If they want to go up to the clubhouse, they go right through there. It's just, how does that make any sense? Like, what? Where was the design there? That doesn't...
I don't know.
Matthew?
Coliseum needs to be suspended as well. 5 games, Coliseum out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious. I guess we'll play the games in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. We have a AAA team there, don't we?
Remember when the guy, the Rangers player threw the bullpen chair at the fan?
Is there ever an appropriate time for a player to go smack somebody? Like, yes. Even if they say like really bad things about your mom or your wife, like, I still don't think you can. I think it makes you look soft.
Yeah, probably. But it stinks. Those fans stink too.
There's a line
throw in the bullpen chair.
There's a line in everything in life. And I mean, honestly,
you know that story, BBD?
The way Tony grabbed him by the chest and stared him down like that, Tony might be saying those 5 games were worth it to get that 15 seconds of that guy shitting his pants.
Is he suspended without pay? Or with pay? Because it's with pay.
Yeah.
I think it's... No, I think when you get suspended, you don't get paid, dude.
I don't want to go get back in the league.
It's not worth
himself.
It if that's the case, just so you know.
He doesn't want to play. In 2004, a reliever in Oakland, because they're just like right on the field, just picked up his bullpen chair, like a folding chair, and threw it in the crowd, broke the woman's nose.
I
went to school with her sons, starting quarterback and receiver, and last name Bueno. Bueno to Bueno for 15 yards.
It's good.
I like that.
It's my favorite like call. Bueno to Bueno. 10-yard pass.
All suspensions are without pay, and that's obvious. Questioned it for a second, but
or else Anthony Rendon would be like, "I'll just get suspended. I'll actually punch this guy in the face."
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, Shady Rays, Jim.
I like them.
Sunglasses. That lady
they
you mentioned.
They
had a picture of her at the next game wearing sunnies. Shady Rays. Baseball season is here. Trev's in Hawaii. Mahalo. He's wearing his Shady Rays. And Shady Rays offers a world-class product that's just as good as any of the expensive pairs you might see. And not only is Shady Rays more affordable, but the frames are beautiful, delicious, strong. And guess what? If you do break them or lose them, they have their lost and broken replacement guarantee. So these are lifelong sunnies for you or maybe a loved one, especially when they are giving you 50% off two plus pairs of polarized sunglasses at ShadyRays.com. ShadyRays.com, code TALKING, 50% off two plus pairs of polarized sunglasses. Make sure you check out the link in the description.
Manfred talked about analytics. And I mean, it's specifically about the defensive shift is what the conversation and article is about. And I fully agree with him on this one. He said that, what's his favorite line? It's funny. He said, it's my favorite line. Like that's what he said after he said, it's actually my favorite line. I think it's true. He said that analytics is an arm race to nowhere, especially if it's at a detriment to the game, was what he said. And he was basically, they were talking about the shift. And that when the Rays were the only team doing it, it helped them out and it was just like a one-off thing. But if every team is doing the same shift and putting, okay, this lefty gets this and this, and it's worse for the product, then it's an arms race to nowhere because no one's getting the advantage anymore and it's hurting the product of the game. So that's what he was talking about. So that's why I'm so excited for the regulations and changing it. I fully agree with his statement there.
There's two different parts. There's the defensive part, which I think you're right, and that's why we have the new rules and we've supported them. The origin, as they say, of this article was one of the owners had a quote where the direct quote is, you know, I don't know what this analytics thing is, but I have like 75 guys. What I want to do is I want to spend a week in the analytics department. I was going to figure out what the hell these guys do. And then he comes around and he says, he's like, you know, I got a lot of smart guys down there. And that's when he runs into the arms race to nowhere line, which I think defensively, like you covered that part of it, that, yeah, we had to change the rules because it ended up being detrimental to the sport. I think to label everything as analytics is a conversation we've done a few times. But it's also, you can still tell the teams, analytics are stats and information. Like, that was one of my favorite. I forget if it was Bruce Bochy or it was one of the old school managers that said, analytics, we used to just call those stats.
Yes.
And overall, analytics have been fantastic for the game of baseball. You know, we've seen guys' careers change because of it, whether it's, you know, even swing information or pitch information. Throw that good pitch. Ad for Blitzball coming up soon. I just think it's funny that some of the way these sentences were phrased is that now everybody does analytics because you have to. If you don't, you're going to get left behind. But I think we could go around and name the top four or five analytically driven organizations that have given themselves an advantage by using data and info. So I think it's funny that arms race to nowhere becomes the big quote that comes out of it. And you know,
what owner do you think said it? They got 75 guys, so it's a big department, but the owner doesn't believe in it. So it's not
a big club.
You know, the Rockies analyst department is like known, and the A's are known as very small, so it's not those two. So it's some team that's got a lot of guys.
I think the owner was you know, when you throw your voice and it sounds like someone says something over there. I think it's one of those situations where they were throwing their voice with the 75 people. Because okay. I think it could be one of the teams you mentioned. That's where I'll stand on that question.
Okay. So you think it's the Rockies? Trev?
The Rockies, anytime an owner does something stupid, we just go straight to the Rockies. Is
that
what we're doing here?
He said he's got a lot of smart guys down there.
It's interesting because essentially every team does have the same information. And I do love that quote. Bochy said that we should just call that stats. When people get so turned off and afraid of the buzzwords, you know, even analytics and, you know, fucking people are scared of a term like exit velocity. But it's just a term. It's just a term for how hard you hit the ball. Like, these things have been around. It's how you. I think that what separates people and where you can still find, you know, victories in the margins is how you interpret the data. Everyone has it, but how do you put it to play? And we've seen different teams, you know, use like pitch data and, like you said, Jake, find guys who do a certain thing well, and then just say, let's do it more. And I think that's kind of, for me, the biggest change for the positive when we're talking all this data, all these numbers, is on the pitching side. And being able to, you know, interpret the data that you get from these bullpens or from TrackMan during games and say, well, shoot, if we just throw that pitch a little more, like that slug on that is, you know, 300, like let's do that more. And then we find guys, Caleb Thielbar is another guy that comes to my mind. I played with him with the Twins. He's still doing it. And he's a guy that, you know, he's got like his spin access is really good. And his spin rate's there. Guys like him would have been lost in the shuffle before because he doesn't, you know, throw you know, 98 miles an hour. That used to be like, hey, let's get that guy. He's got a live arm. But now it's like, oh, well, these guys spin the ball well. They do this well. The break is on this axis, and that's good for the sport right now. So let's go get these guys. I think that still plays. How you interpret the information and then put it to play on the field. Like, there are certain organizations that do that much better than other organizations. And then maybe, you know, you find – you still have to have like a team identity, don't you? And if you do, say you're the Guardians, like your usage of the data is much different than, say, the Yankees or a team that has some big bopping guys, right? Like, you have to see what your team is like or what you want it to be like, and then kind of curate your analytical department towards that, I'm assuming.
Does that
make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, the example I was just going to jump to was look at our two teams in L.A. And two guys that just did a little trading places. You know, Noah Syndergaard, he signed with the Dodgers this year. What do all of us think? Like, we believe in their information and how they're using it and how they coach that it becomes a line between analytics coaching and the player. That, yeah, I think if you asked all of us to place a bet if Syndergaard was going to have a good year, we'd say, yeah, I mean, he signed with the Dodgers. Meanwhile, with the Angels across town, you know, we were all a little nervous about the Tyler Anderson signing because he signed with the Angels, a team that's got a history of however their coaching and pitching had gone up into this point of not having that type of success. That, yeah, man, I think a good ball player, you know, we could look at a lot of the rosters and say, oh, that team's pretty good. I know a lot of those guys and they're stacked. But I think there's a next level that we know if the Dodgers call up a guy, the Rays call up a guy that, you know, they're kind of going to be a guy for them because they know what they're looking for. And that also ties into team identity, Trev. And we've Yankees bullpen in recent years, you know, if you got a sinker or a slider, they can tap into that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become a little bit of their like team identity out there. So yeah, I think the quote ends up getting blown up a little more because it's Uncle Bobby.
Not even his quote. I mean, this whole thing is like the most miscommunicated article on purpose, I think. An owner said it. And then now people are saying Manfred said it.
Well, he echoed it and said it's his favorite quote.
Yeah, but he's talking about a panel, and then he's talking specifically about the shifts in his answer, not like pitching tools. And he's right about the shifts. Yeah. Everybody's doing it, and it's making a worse outcome of the game, like as far as excitement, then it is like, okay, let's just stop this because it's no longer just an advantage. It's just this is how the game is played now because everyone's doing it.
And baseball suffers a little bit just
the best
from
commissioner in all of baseball. So
easily
fix the game.
I think he's the only commissioner in baseball right now. You know, other sports that when numbers really got brought into it, specifically scoring, you know, in the NFL, you got to score, you got to have a quarterback. And so they started to throw downfield more, take bigger shots. It's fun to watch. You love seeing guys take chances down the field in basketball. Like, I don't know, you probably find some people that don't like it, but shooting a three-pointer is worth an extra point than, you know, a basket down by the boards. Is that even a basketball term? Mm. I just tried to make that up right there, Jake. Is that good?
Ask your friend Matt.
Matthew. I think, you know, shooting threes is exciting to watch, but for baseball, you know, you're talking still the easiest way to score a run is to hit a homer. You know, the most efficient way to score runs is to hit a homer. But with that comes, you know, the three true outcomes. I think it not only the shifts kind of put our sport in a bad place, but three true outcomes put our sport in a bad place. Very difficult just to watch that. We talk about the homer being one of the more boring,
yeah,
you know, highlight reels.
Highlight,
so I think
sports.
Both of those things are kind of what they're talking about here. And now, you know, with the pitch clock and the disengagement rules and the bigger bases, we're seeing more stolen bases, and we're seeing some of these guys who maybe aren't prototypically or would have gotten these deals before, like some of these speedsters, that they're getting more attention, and we're going to see more rosters built around this, I think, because the game, like these changes are going to change the way rosters are built, in my opinion.
Yeah. Terrence Gore got a job now. Mm. Steal. They're gonna bring Trackstar. They're gonna bring Trackstars back to baseball, like in the '80s.
Is he on a team right now, or is he just sitting in the minor leagues waiting for September?
He was on the Yankees minor league last year. He was with the Mets minor league this year.
No, he's waiting.
What?
He's waiting.
He's waiting. I know he was with the Mets last year.
Terrence Gore, age guess.
33.
That's a good guess. You can take 33. It. I'm going to go same.
31 years old.
Nice.
Wow. We might be getting a few more Terrence Gore seasons coming up. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. What do we got next? Pitch clock stuff?
Would you bet on it, Jim?
I've been doing a lot of betting.
You sure have.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
A lot of betting, 60 huh?
bucks last night, just $5 at a time.
It's been hot over here, Trev.
Marginal
victory.
Full
units,
gambler.
$5 for you? Okay. Like that?
No. I've been cashing out 5 units.
Yeah. 5 units.
Not 5 units, $5. $5, $10. I think my biggest one was $10.
Might be more coming soon from us with that. And you should join in at the DraftKings Sportsbook because you can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. So just find a winner. Problem solved. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yesterday I had Pittsburgh and Boston to both score 4 runs. Easy.
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 Oops. Join the big league action now on DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app and sign up with code TALK. And new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame money line and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code TALK. And minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
I retweeted this passing tweet, sent it to you guys as a topic to talk about because it's awesome. It's like an update on the first week of the season with the pitch clock. More than half hour shaved off the games with more offense and more action. All the offensive gains have come from singles, so more balls in play, more stolen base opportunities, more hit and runs. With stolen bases so high, teams are going to run more because the success rate will drop a little bit, and there's been less than one violation per game. And the violations per game are going to go down. Stolen bases will probably go down. Offense probably goes up a little bit. It's still not great, but it's up from last year. So far, I think it's getting the desired result.
Yeah, and we don't want to bore everyone with the numbers. Like, the games are just shorter. Like, that's all you really need to know. Like, the opening day games, the statistics on those were, you know, I think there was only 2 games over 2 hours and 49 minutes. Everything else was, you know, right around that 215 to 230 mark. So it's working. It's what they want to happen. There's been some pushback a little bit, and I think most of it, as far as players, comes from pitchers. The hitters are fine with it, but pitchers, and specifically like the Phillies, there's an article that has a lot of JT Realmuto quotes.
Yeah, well, he played in the World Baseball Classic.
He did. He didn't have time to. Yeah, they didn't have time to get used to it.
And they're still playing long games so far.
Yeah, and they're on 0-4, so maybe he's just mad. But I think there is some stuff that needs to still be ironed out. And Manfred has been saying all the right things with this. He says our feet are not, you know, set in stone. We can move. We can do some certain things. He wants umpires to be more lenient in pressure situations, to let it breathe a little bit. I think eventually we will add a little bit of time to the pitch clock. But what JT is basically saying, and I have heard this from other pitchers as well, it just eliminates, like, your time to think. You really can't shake off. Like, guys are like saying, I haven't shook off all spring training or any of the games I pitched so far. So there's a little bit of that has come into play. You have to think about, or actually you don't have to think about what pitch you're going to throw anymore, unless you're calling your own game, but you have to focus on that. Then you have to focus on the clock to make sure you're ready. It's just like an added thing for these guys to be doing. I think one of the biggest points that JT said was, it was my job to slow the pitcher down sometimes, to go out there and say, hey, relax a little bit. You're moving too quickly. And he's like, we can't do that now. Yeah. So he's saying it's very paramount to get ahead of hitters now because these things can just snowball. You have no time to breathe and the momentum comes and you're just kind of out of breath or you're just in this cycle. And he goes, your pitches are going to suffer because of it. So I don't know how they're going to have to work that out. Is he going to have to call more timeouts and just kind of waste that?
Just figure it
out. I'm not really sure. You got to figure it out.
It's a desired result, that's man. Kind of the gist. They want offense. They want to make it a little harder for pitchers. It's been pretty easy for a while. Offense was like at an all-time low for a while. They had to juice the balls. The only people complaining are like the few pitchers who struggle. And majority of the game, pitchers are fine. And then these slow-ass closers come in. And, yeah, you got to shake off a pitch if you have to take a circle around the mound after every ball. If you just grab it and step on, then you're fine. I don't know. I don't – it's better. And I keep – like Trevor May, who I like Trevor May. I mean, everyone on Twitter keeps saying this. It should just be 20 seconds. Well, that is exactly where we were. That adds 25 minutes a game. There's simple math to that. If you someone said make it 25 seconds, well, now we're longer than we were before. So, I don't know. You watch a game. Yes Network barely puts it on the screen. You don't notice it until they get docked, and it's like once, and they're like, oh yeah, they started putting on screen. Sometimes they don't. But when they don't put on screen, you don't even notice it.
Yeah. No, I was going to bring up the Trevor May example too, because he just did Chris Rose rotation, and he had, you know, kind of a funny anecdote that he didn't know what catcher was in the game. It was Perez. He'd been working with Langeliers, Shea, and Perez came over like you're right at the end. I think he got NRI'd from Rockies camp, so he was pretty new to the team, so he kept calling pitches, and Trevor May was like, what? Shea, why are you calling that? And then he realized it was Perez. That's a mix of a couple different things going on there. We touched upon it a little bit before. I want to see more data. The base running, I think, is in an incredible place. I think we got more athletes out there. We got more guys with the green light, and I think it's fantastic. That feeling when you see a runner on first and yet you think they might want to go, that's one of the best in baseball. So the fact that that is there. And I wonder, will teams and pitching adjust a little bit? Because that's been the bigger change for me. I mean, in the first four games last year, or the Jeff Passan tweet you referenced, there was 43 stolen base attempts. So far, in that same sample, there's 84. So almost double the stolen base attempts and almost triple stolen bases. There was 29, there was 70 successful stolen bases. So I want to keep an eye on the success rate and the clip of that. But I think stolen bases have always been and are always this edge of the seat moment where you've got a pitcher throwing, a guy running, a guy potentially hitting, and then a catcher throwing, and then a guy got a catch. Like, for all of that to happen within like a 5-second time frame, that's as electric as baseball gets. So I'm all about that. With the pitch clock, I want to see a little more of it. We debated early on, should there be a seventh inning? It goes to 20 seconds or something like that. I'm not going to close my heart to that because I want to feel it out more. I'm not giving these relievers an instant pass on, you were uncomfortable the first time you came out to the new rules. No, like, let's try to adapt and see how it works. If the clock is constantly rattling relievers, I don't know if I love that. I know we want to get offense up a little bit, and I've been a supporter of that. I think, you know, in previous episodes, I suggested moving the mound back, which is sacrilegious in baseball, to get the offense going, because we've got a guy that throws 102 in every bullpen now. I want to see more of it. And if there's tweaks to be made, I think that can happen. But overall, what the pitch clock is doing, it's good.
Not going to change it that much because all these minor leaguers that get promoted are going to be dealing with it. And in 4 years, you know, vast majority, like, what's the average lifespan of an MLB player? 3 years. So all these like relievers, they're just going to cycle through and the minor league guys are going to be there. So it's a bit shitty for the guys that like adapt or die because the people coming up, they're adapted. They know how to pitch. You know, all the closers that are going to be in the league 4 years from now, all the high-pressure relievers, they're doing this right now down there. They're going to have no problem.
So you haven't felt any parts of any games have been rushed?
Not
a little
at
bit?
All.
Okay, I have a little bit.
I haven't at all.
I have a little bit.
I've been watching them with Katie, my wife, because she's like into it now and they're short enough for her to like watch.
Yeah.
And we talked throughout the whole thing. And I said, I bet he throws this pitch. And like we do, it's like normal ass baseball.
There's a couple of things, and we talked about it, I think, on Monday. The production needs to kind of, they need to figure that out. Producing the games, you know, when to cut back to the game, when to show highlights. I think they're kind of struggling with that. I
mentioned can't believe Oscar they Colas. Didn't practice in spring training more.
Some they of the didn't do a great job. Yeah. They totally missed Oscar Colas's first hit, which is like kind of a big deal. They just didn't even show it. And then, yeah, there's some things that need to change. I think one we could do, what a lot of people have said, is, you know, let's take the 8 second mark that the hitter has to be ready and maybe move it down to 5 seconds or something like that. Or just like not have that rule in effect, keep the pitch clock, but just the hitter doesn't have to be ready at a certain point. Right.
Maybe I have like the complete opposite reaction than I guess you guys or people. Like when I see a batter go take a spin, I'm like, dude, stop. Especially because the Yankees have Judge and they have Stanton, who are their best hitters, who don't leave the box ever. Mm-hmm. So when then you have another guy that comes up. So like I've been feeling that forever. Like, stop. Why you got to go for a walk after? Like Correa, Machado, someone else. They were doing it like after every pitch, like a full circle. And it's like, I don't have sympathy for that. You don't need to do that.
When you, I think there are times where you definitely need to like, catch your freaking breath or your thoughts or something like that. I know you have a timeout per at bat, so I guess you could do that. But there are definitely some moments where it's like, shit, I just need a second.
Yeah, I understand. If you get like buzz tying tight, and I think umps are being lenient there, or they've been told to be lenient there. Like if you're like, whew, just caught one close to the face, I totally agree there. But I'm talking about the guys who, no matter the result of the pitch, take a mini lap around the batter's box.
If you fake something like, oh, I got a bug in my eye, does that count against you?
Or you got to call time.
We've seen a little bit of funny business. In the Sunday night baseball game, we saw some tricks come out with that, you know, inquisitive managers from the dugout. Wait,
oh,
what?
Yeah, excuse me.
What was that? All right. Like, there's, you know, there's always a way. There's always a way.
But, I mean, a resounding success so far, which is... pretty crazy, man.
The offensive numbers are so cool. And like the base hits, baseball's been, it feels like a glass of refreshing water. Like I've been watching more baseball than I've ever watched because all these games are back and forth, base hits, base runners, momentum changes. Yeah. And I think it's just base runners. It's singles. It's guys on a threat every inning. I think it's been so much more fun.
Yeah. And the pitchers have been taking advantage of like, the fact that they control the variables and now they're able to.
Yeah, Trev, you're really, anti-pitcher. Screw them.
I am anti-pitcher. And then let me tell you something. I was at the pool yesterday here. Okay. Stanford guy comes up to me. Obviously, he knows I'm also a Stanford guy. Famously a Stanford guy. And we start talking. He said, hey, I'm doing some pitcher's tech thing. I'm like, well, I hate you because they don't need any more. Number one. Number two, best way to do damage is from the inside. So let me get in on that, buddy. And he starts explaining to me that they are doing a sensor that they could put into any object that is thrown, essentially. But baseball is where they're starting. And now they're going to be able to get finger pressure maps. And the ball weighs and it feels exactly the same. It's like a thin sheet that goes inside the ball. And if they can do that, I've talked about this on the show before. If you have pressure maps for your fingers, you can mimic any pitch that you want. So if you are a pitcher now that has a nasty pitch, don't be going and showing anybody because I think they're going to be worth like a lot of money. Like you'll be able to sell how you throw a pitch, especially because that's the last frontier here. We can slow everything down. We have your arm angle. We have the spin data. But it used to be, okay, we saw on the Edgertronic camera, you know, your finger pressure and where it was. But if you actually have maps of it.
Well, you just do National Treasure, right? And you get that invisible ink on their fingertip, shake their hand, and then have them throw a pitch. And then you get that ball put under the blue, the black light, and then you have it.
I'm just saying, my example is always Corey Kluber and like the cutter. Like, if you could sell that, like really, like you have all of the data on it now.
It's like Miggy charging scary. For BP sessions.
If you could somehow fucking just mimic his exact bat path and everything, great. That doesn't ever happen. But these guys are going to be able to do that, dude. They're going to be able to find somebody, ghost fork, whatever nasty pitch is out there, they're going to be able to completely mimic it. And that's terrifying.
Doesn't matter, Trev. Arms race to nowhere, buddy. Get over pitcher's information.
Gosh.
I'm trying to be an investor in this thing, okay? What's up, Stanford guy? I don't know your name.
And then destroy it.
Blake Sable.
Yeah. Blake Sable, my guy. Bunt base hit.
Your guy.
First ever.
All right. Is there another topic? Tatis starts soon. I thought that was fun.
It's exciting.
Playing in the minors.
They're going to have a roster kind of shuffle there. There's a lot of guys. Their depth is really good there. Our guy David Dahl last night.
Ooh, a hero.
Or I guess this is a couple nights ago. Once this is going to be out on Wednesday.
Are you in on the Guardians, Trev?
I am in on the Guardians. I like the way they play. It's fun, man. And again, this is I'm talking about the Monday night game. I mean, talk about back and forth and like your team identity, like showing up, like Class A blows it, but you still have Ramirez diving all over the place. Like, it's awesome.
Me and Joe's made money on it four different ways.
How the hell does that guy take Class A deep? It's hard to hit the ball in the air off him.
I just put down a breakdown of Trevor's stiff on stuff. It's nasty. His three pitches, a reliever to have three pitches that work off themselves like that, is nasty. It's crazy.
I'm in on the Guardians and the Rangers. I've changed my tune a little bit.
Nah, we'll see.
You're still out? Okay.
Bruce.
I'm in on the Guardians, and I want the Marlins to be good. I don't know if they're going to be good. I don't know if I'd bet on them be good, but they are fun. They looked like Team Curacao in the Little League World Series. Where you're like, wow, this team is flashy and pretty good. They could really beat you some days and like kick your ass, and then they never win. And you're like, how come that Curacao team didn't win? They had a bunch of studs, and they're just like, it's just sloppy. It didn't really work out.
Yeah.
That's what the Marlins reminded me of.
1-4 as they face the undefeated Minnesota Twins.
Who's 1-4?
Byron. Marlins. Joey Gallo's resurgence. That was the last topic. I forgot about that.
Boom, goodness. Homer. Nice.
Some guys just need to feel comfortable. You guys were on him too much last year. You made him uncomfortable in his own skin.
Don't get me started. Never seen a guy get more cheers than Joey Gallo for doing nothing. Yankees fans loved him.
Crazy. That's an Italian.
They did. They love it. It's crazy.
That Italian. Well, you got to be happy for him now, right?
I am happy for him. I don't want him to be miserable. And the Yankee fans got on him, but it was the most leash I've ever seen a player get. You've heard me say it.
Hey, what happened with Boone? You guys guessed the lineup correctly? He said guess the lineup. And
well,
he
gave like little hints throughout the entire show. And then we were like, so what do you got? I wonder if he's allowed to do that, because I do think there's like gambling things where you can't know early. Pocket that and bets and make some bets.
No, you can't know late. That's the only problem. But yeah, no, it worked out perfectly, Trev. We were laying our mousetrap, and he gave us more than like he was a mouse like putting more cheese out. And he was like, I'm going to bring my other mice to the trap. Because he was like, oh, well, Rizzo's out today, so Gleyber's hitting third. And we were like, okay, nice.
Did you watch the video? His eyes, when he realizes what we're doing, like we were two like detectives like putting the piece together, he just smiles and looks at us. He's like,
You guys,
pretty good. He's like, smiling on your computer.
my favorite third baseman.
Okay, that's the end of the show. Thank you very much for everybody tuning in. We'll see you later.
I got to go catch football. Right now.
We're in a race to 100 subscribers with four other channels on the Subscribe Network, and we need
Chick
your
sucks.
Help.
We're racing other channels to 100,000 subscribers. Subscribe.
Do not subscribe unless you want to subscribe. I'm not forcing you guys
to do
anything.
We want 100,000 people who
subscribe
want to
subscribe or die.
That's
how they beat the British.
I don't want you to.
That's how they beat the British.
I don't want any.
You
want to
mobilize
to
a nation?
I don't want any pity subscribers.
Cut off their food.
Make three accounts. Subscribe.
SeatGeek.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.